Dear ones, before we open his word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for this hour. We thank thee that thou hast brought us together with thy word before us, truth, life, light. We pray, Lord, that as we have assembled around thy word, that our hearts would simply be open, that we would receive this word within our hearts with a trust, with an obedience. Lord, we pray that this evening we would be moved by thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy presence with us as we have gathered in thy name. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless each one of us who was able to come this evening. Bless the reading and the meditation and our worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I desire to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, from verse 19 to the end. Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19 to the end. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless. Dear ones, as we have read this portion of Scripture, as Thomas, amongst others, was referenced Sunday evening in the closing thoughts. And it led me to think of Thomas more these few days since then. And Thomas's declaration of faith, his profession of faith, how he came to that, who he was really. And as Brother Robert led us in prayer, he mentioned that we trust. And that's a key word for us. We trust that God's ways, his will for us, the doors that he opens and closes for us are best. They're directed by him. And we trust that. And the immediate thought is, we are placing our entire life in God's hands. Because that's what ultimately this trust means. Because you and I never can give this trust to a man. None of us here, because man is finite. He's as finite as I am. How can I trust him to tell me that something will take place? He could tell me, go here, and this is the exact sequence of events that are going to take place. He can't do that. He's not a sovereign. He's not my master. He doesn't know. Now, I could put a trust in a man for a certain endeavor that he might be able to lead me or take me somewhere because he knows the way. But to put ultimate trust in someone, as we pray, we trust that God and his ways, his will for us, what he opens and closes for our lives is best because it's directed by him. Is it a way that is going to hurt? It might, for the flesh. It might be a way that is going to humble us. It might be a way that is going to cause great joy. Whatever those doors and ways are, it's his will and his best for us. Our role is to trust. And that's ultimately the thought here, what Thomas really ultimately said. Because he came to a point of faith. We read in the opening verses that on this is on Sunday now, the day of the resurrection of the master, of their master, of the disciples who had been called by God, by Jesus, called to follow him. They followed him. They saw so many things as John closes in these last two verses, so many things that they witnessed, and John himself didn't focus on those miracles. He only brought out 8 miracles himself of the things that he had seen that Jesus had performed. The focus is not on the miracles. As a matter of fact, all of the Gospels combined give 36 miracles or 32 miracles, one or the other. I was able to count it up. That's it. Of the miracles that are said, that the books cannot contain the things that Jesus had done. Again, the focus is not on the miracles. It's those things that were done to bring focus upon who is performing these things and who is capable of doing those miracles. And on this first day, the same day, it says, of the resurrection, his appearance to the disciples is that evening. So it's late in the day now. And it's the doors were closed. And it says why they closed the doors. Because the disciples were assembled there for fear of the Jews. Why did they fear? They already heard of the resurrection. They didn't believe either. Why would they? Because if they knew that Jesus was alive, they have nothing to fear. They didn't have this kind of fear when he walked with them for those 3 years. But they assembled together. They're fearing the Jews because they're not sure what's going to happen now. Suddenly there's these rumors being said that he has been seen. There's eyewitnesses. They're saying, we saw him. The two on the road to Emmaus, we saw him. Did our hearts not burn within us, they said? Isn't that what the church is missing today? That passion, that burning, that trust in our Lord Jesus that they felt when they were in his very presence? Do we rob ourselves from the presence of Jesus? And you know, we could do it simply not in the assembly. You know, because here we see these disciples have assembled together. It doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't there. But Thomas not being there, he was robbed of a blessing. Because Jesus came. Jesus was there. And you know, we have We have that blessed promise from Jesus that if you gather in my name, I am going to be there with you. So whenever we, and I'm not speaking of on a midweek when we have obligations, perhaps. Maybe we are at work. Maybe, but if we're sitting at home, we have no excuse. Is it because our trust is maybe not so great in the Lord? And the promise that he, you know, if Thomas knew that Jesus was going to appear, tell me he wouldn't have come. Tell me he wouldn't have come. I don't know what he was doing. It doesn't tell us. But he didn't show up for that meeting. All the other disciples were there. We know Judas wasn't, but 10 of them were. Why wasn't he there? So we have a promise from Jesus that when we gather in his name, I will be there. So at the very least and greatest thing that could take place is we are robbing ourselves of a meeting with Christ. Are we to say, well, that is the only place that we're going to meet him? No. Because if he is, as we prayed, if our hearts are open and he is enthroned on our heart, and he is the sovereign of my life because I put my trust in him. And as a sovereign, what do people do to a king? They obey him. He is sovereign over them. He has absolute rule over them. And they are in obedience to him. And so if Jesus is sovereign in our heart and he sits upon the throne of our heart, we listen to him. We obey him. And so he is always present with us. But when we gather together as a group, as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, his presence is here with us. And with his presence here, we don't know what we are going to miss. But we know we're going to miss a meeting with him. So why wouldn't we come? Why wouldn't we show up? What more important thing is there for us? And I'm speaking on the Lord's Day because this isn't the Lord's Day that Thomas missed this meeting. Yes, the church was not established yet. They weren't worshiping on a Sunday. But this is just giving an opening to what had been taking place, and Thomas isn't there. And in that moment, Jesus appears before them. He stands in the midst of them, and he says, "Peace be unto you." Remember, he said those words before. "Not as the world gives I unto you." And so he comes with this blessing. "Peace be unto you." And when he has so said, what did he do? To show them who he is. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side. You know, we speak about Thomas as doubting Thomas. He's given the name. And we may always look on him as one who was doubting, but they all doubted. Jesus showed them all his hands, his nail prints, his side that was pierced. And it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now they believed, just as Thomas did. And he tells them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And he sent them out. And this is, I believe, brothers and sisters, really, he said, "As the Father hath sent me, so even so send I you." We know that Jesus and why he came to overcome sin, to overcome death, to reconcile you and me unto him. He came to show us who God is. He was the express image of God. He came to show us who the Father is. He goes, there's no other way that you can know the Father unless I come and reveal him in his person. And so he sends his disciples out and he empowers them with his Holy Spirit, just as he sends the church out today, empowered by his Holy Spirit, not by our own devices, not by our own methods of entertainment and ways to bring in and crowds and offer them things that will attract them to come. And no, he sent them with his word. He came with a word. And he gives unto you and to me his word. And it is with this word that we are to woo the nations. That's it. With his word. Let the power of the word do his work. What device do you have better than the power of Jesus? And so he tells us, he breathes on them and says unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. We know that man has no power to forgive a man his sins. God alone can do that. And that's why Jesus spoke in the manner in which he did, revealing himself to them. Because the Pharisees, the Jews, knew that only God can forgive sins. And so when he spoke those things, he was revealing to them that he indeed is deity. And so this says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so he missed seeing Jesus. He missed receiving his spirit and being sent out. He missed that. He missed the blessing by not appearing. Brothers and sisters, we have to see, if we just came physically, we're not going to receive anything. But if we come in the spirit, literally in the spirit, and I think we all have felt ourselves when we are here physically and when we are here in the spirit. When we come in the spirit, we're going to receive a blessing. Because Jesus is here. His presence is here. He can speak to you in ways that I can't. He can speak to you, as we read this, in ways that maybe just a word that can come forth can spur a thought in your mind that wouldn't have come there otherwise. And in being in the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit. And so it tells us here that Thomas isn't there. And so then the other disciples therefore said unto him, to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. So they're testifying to him, we have seen the Lord. Well, Thomas knows what he saw. He saw what all the other disciples saw. He saw his Lord hanging on a tree. He saw his lifeless form. He saw him taken to a tomb. He saw these things. It was the end. They scattered. They were afraid. Because the rumor was going out that his body was stolen. Are they going to be accused of stealing his body? Who's to say that the authorities aren't going to come after them now? That's why they feared. And Thomas says, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, what constitutes belief? You know, you and I don't need faith when we see something. That's not faith. You know, there is that phrase, seeing is believing. But if you really consider what, when you see something, your eyes have seen it. It's not a matter of belief anymore. It's a fact that is established. You saw something. Thomas saw Jesus dead. He doesn't have to believe that Jesus died. He saw it. He saw it. And so he's saying, if I see it, I will believe. Well, actually he said, unless I see it, I will not believe. And so the second appearance to the disciples is 8 days later. It tells us, again, his disciples are gathered together. And it tells us Thomas is with them. We have to really appreciate and love how God has left his word for us. So he's given us exactly enough information for us to really expand our thoughts, our faith, our love for him in the expressions that are given in his word. Thomas is with them. Then came Jesus, and it tells us the doors are shut, and Jesus stands in the middle of them. Once again, doors are shut. How did he come in? We know how he came in his resurrected body. He came in and he says again, peace be unto you. It's a greeting that was very, very familiar to them. It was a greeting of peace. It was common amongst all of the Jews in that day. And he greets them. But then he turns to Thomas. Why did he turn to Thomas? Did the disciples tell him, hey, Thomas doesn't believe? He didn't need them, because he says, because he knows the thoughts of man. So he knows who Thomas is. And he sees Thomas, and he knew of the discussion they had, and he says, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And he says, be not faithless, but believing. It doesn't tell us that Thomas thrust his hand into his side. It doesn't tell us that he thrust his finger into the nail prints. It just tells us one of the greatest professions of faith that are written in Scripture. It is this profession of faith that the church today, you and I, have to make. And we have to consider that in this profession, dear ones, Thomas isn't, he says, my Lord. He could have stopped there and it would not have been enough. He said, my Lord. That was the name of God in the Old Testament. Our Bible translates it as Lord. And we can find that in Genesis. We can find where God is being called by Abraham, Lord, with a capital L, as realizing that he is his master, that he is a sovereign, one to be obeyed. But he doesn't stop there, and he says, my Lord and my God. As my God, I am to worship. And Jesus says to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And you know, I believe that none of us here would have any different faith if we had been in that room and seen, witnessed those things as we do have today. Because what Thomas expressed here wasn't because he saw. It really wasn't because he saw, He didn't put his hands into his side. You know, you can believe, but the blessings that Jesus gives, which he tells us which actually John says, why are these things written here? He says that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so now what does this belief have to produce? And so that, and believing, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is why this was written. These are written so that you might believe. And that in that belief, you're going to have life. And so what is this life? It is a life that is sanctified. It is a life that is victory over sin. It is not just life in the sense that you and I are alive today, knowing that death does await us, and we just carry on our merry old way, eating, drinking, and being merry. We're going to do what we want to do. The life that he gives is eternal. The life that he gives is a peace that the world cannot give me or you. He gives it to me, and he only gives it to me through victory. Life is through victory. And Jesus now really gives us another beatitude. We know the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, the blessings that Jesus what is a blessing by God? You know, we think that a blessing is extreme happiness, extreme euphoria, a feeling, and it's a blessing. And maybe I'm going to have some comforts in life and so on. Those are partial blessings. But man experiences those things without God. Man experiences happiness. But the peace that Jesus gives, not as the world gives, you can't find anywhere else. Those are blessings. But the blessings of God are a favor, where God looks on you and me, and he sees your faith, your trust, as we prayed, that your will, oh God, is the best for my life. I might be sick. I might have a very hard time. I might be paralyzed. I might not be able to walk. I might not be able to see. I might not be able to hear. But I have a favor. God favors me. Why? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The final beatitude of Jesus after his resurrection is given, that God will have you and me in his favor. That's a blessing that you and I cannot afford to lose. Because then it does not matter what will take place in my life. We read of the horrible things that take place in the scripture to the followers of Jesus Christ. We find them in history books too. And it causes our skin to crawl what man can do to another man. It doesn't mean that those things will not befall us. And it doesn't mean that we're not blessed if they do. We are in God's favor because we didn't see him, but we believe in him. We have put our trust in him, that he knows what is best for me. And we follow him and we worship him because he alone is worthy of it. We can rob his deity as we amplify his humanity. And we can rob him of his humanity as we amplify his deity. But he is truly God and truly man. And that is the only way that Thomas came to that realization and that profession of faith that you and I must follow in order to have favor in God's eyes. And you know, when we think of that, if God is with me, who can be against me? Who? A finite man. It's nothing. But we have to assemble, when we come to church, to the house of the Lord, we have to assemble in faith, in spirit, longing for a blessing from Him, praying that that being in His very presence here, Jesus is here. We might think, well, I wish I could see Him. You're not in God's favor. You're not in God's favor. If you can't believe He is here because He promised that He is, then you don't have faith. And so that is in our life. When we have that trust and in obedience and worship, and He is my master, and He is sovereign and my creator and life giver and sustainer and everything to me. And I have that trust in Him that I follow Him everywhere He goes. Jesus just said here, blessed are you. That's a blessing that I don't want to miss out on. It's a blessing that you don't want to miss out on. And Jesus had, through the inspiration of the Spirit, had His beloved disciple write these things so that you and I can believe. And may our eyes of faith truly be opened up. May our hearts open up wide so that He may truly be seated upon the throne of our hearts to love Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him with all we have. Amen.